Welcome to Behind the Curtain with me, Rhiannon Carrs. Today I am delighted to welcome Dean Saxton. He's our Regional Director for Wales and the South West and a structural engineer by background. Dean has led our Cardiff office for the last 6 or so years and has been absolutely instrumental in building that team up and doubling the number of colleagues that we have in the region. He's enjoyed huge success across the city. At the beginning of this year, he was promoted to a new role, meaning that he now oversees the Cardiff and Bristol offices. And in this episode, we'll hear about what the Curtain's Way looks like in Cardiff and how he's really brought it to life there. We'll also talk about how approaches in Wales could inform how we do things across the rest of the UK and Ireland. So welcome, Dean. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. Nice to be here.
Let's get stuck in then. So like I said in the introduction there, earlier this year you were promoted to Regional Director, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Could you just tell us a little bit more about what that involves, what that'll look like for the teams on the ground in Bristol and Cardiff, and what kind of working together between those two offices might look like moving forwards?
Yeah, that's fine. So I joined Curtains about 10 years ago, and I was quite fortunate to have worked with both offices from those early days.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first joined Curtains, our first major project was the Celtic Manor International Convention
Centre. Oh yeah, I remember that one well. Yeah,
which is great first project to be involved with, and that was delivered as a kind of multi-office delivery across Bristol and Cardiff. So through that project, I got to get to know a couple of colleagues over in Bristol really well, especially Stephen Beggs, who was the project director on that scheme. Worked quite closely with Paul Menzies as well. Basically, just since those early days, we've been fortunate to have worked quite closely over the last few years. In terms of me personally, I'm actually born and raised in Dorset in England, so know the area quite well. I was actually sat in a Bristol staff meeting the other day where I think everyone was quite relieved to think, oh, maybe he's not a proper Welsh guy. And I can kind of work with someone that kind of is going back to his roots. So I think in terms of what the regional director means to me, I think it's, you know, we've done some really good stuff in Wales recently, and it's just about cross-pollinating some of that good stuff, trying to work closely with the team leaders in Cardiff and Bristol and seeing how we can complement each other and go on to the next level, really.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, those relationships are already pretty solid, aren't they? They've worked together as two teams kind of consistently over the last couple of years anyway. So I suppose the difference day to day might in some ways be quite minimal moving forward. Stephen Beggs will still sit in the Bristol office and still have that day to day responsibility. But I guess what you're saying is it's really building on the good stuff. How do we go from good to great as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what's quite obvious is that we've got some like really good future leaders in both offices. And like we really want to kind of build on that. And it's like, I think, you know, looking ahead, what's really exciting is what those leaders can achieve over the next couple of years. And my job really is to kind of work with Stephen, work with Alex as well, and seeing how we can kind of give opportunities and mentor people and try to let everyone kind of take the next steps in their career and make sure we all push in the same direction.
Yeah, and I suppose you've really been an example of that, haven't you, in your career? You know, you came into the business. What role were you when you first joined?
Senior engineer.
So your career has really progressed over the last few years. And I think that anybody who's had that kind of that chance, that opportunity within Curtains, it seems to me feels really keen and really eager to pass that on to others in the team as well, so that they can have that same kind of that benefit if that's right for them and it's what they want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think obviously the Curtains culture is very progressive. It's about providing opportunities, and it's about allowing people to kind of flourish and make the most out of themselves.
I'm going to move us on then to talk about the Curtains Way. So the kind of the foundation principles of, I guess, how we do things around here.
Yeah.
So the working together principles and the client experience principles and that set out, I guess, the expectations for our clients on, you know, you come through the door of Curtains and this is what you can expect.
Yeah.
And I know that you really grasped that and you properly ran with it at Curtains Cardiff.
Yeah.
I suppose it kind of formed your identity in a way, didn't it? in the growth of that office and in that region. So could you just kind of, I suppose, add a bit of colour, bring that to life for us? How did you do it? I suppose, where were you starting? What was your starting position? And then what did you do to really embed that culture to bring us to where we are today?
So I think, when I first started in the Cardiff office, it was maybe a kind of seen as being maybe a little bit of a satellite office. It wasn't fully embraced in the kind of wider curtains culture. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the main things it was all about, you've got to plug into the wider curtains, mm-hmm. that kind of branded identity and kind of taking that into your regions is quite key. And I think that is being transformative in terms of like making sure that we're engaging with all of the national groups, basically. I think the two main things that I've been pushing for in the region is relationships and trust. I think both internally and externally, you've got to build relationships, and the better that you can get those relationships, the better. And I think the basics is you've got to trust who you're working with. So hence, I think the Cardiff-Bristol dynamic's really good. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot of stuff with across the south as well, try to kind of layer that up, scale that up across the south. So we're working more closely with the London office and with Cambridge. And we're already seeing at that kind of team leader level, you know, as soon as you start to create more of that that trust and opportunities for creating interactions, it's just beneficial for everyone. So there's a lot of focus on that. I think also we've done a lot of focusing on things like personal brand, and you know, we're trying to push all of our engineers, anyone that's kind of client facing, even from like project engineer all the way up to director level, I try to get everyone to like look in the mirror and be like, you know, what do you want to be known as? What do you want your personal brand to be? Because, you know, we don't want to, you know, it's good that Curtains has its brand, but we don't want to kind of sit behind that. We want people with strong personal brand going mm-hmm. out there in the market and creating those relationships with people. And again, you know, our clients and our peers, our architects and project managers, they want to know that they're working with engineers that they can trust, and if they've got a bit of a problem, we'll go the extra mile to help them out. That to me is what it's all about.
I really love this idea of a personal brand, and I agree it's so important because, yeah, we do have a really strong kind of visual brand and reputational brand as the kind of umbrella Curtains, but that ultimately is the jigsaw puzzle that's made up from all of the individual pieces, isn't it? And what we want is for people to endorse that and not just be kind of homogenized, you know, Curtains bricks. It really is about saying, you know, I'm an individual, this is what I can bring. And that ultimately is how we build those relationships as well, isn't it, with our clients, both in internally at Curtains, but actually with our clients in the market as well.
Absolutely. I think again, you speak to a lot of our clients and peers, they're all trying to do the same thing. So about promoting future leaders, trying to get diversity in the workforce, fresh ideas, fresh perspectives. We talk a lot about like the Curtains vision, and we had a kind of the start of the year staff briefing, and it's, you know, use the opportunity to kind of like underline what do we see as our vision in the region. And what's really nice to hear is that there's so much synergy in what Curtains are trying to achieve and what the people in the office want to achieve. And it is about being the consultant of choice, and it is about mm-hmm. working on impactful projects and, being known for working on the best projects in the region with the best teams. So I think once you've got your vision sorted and everyone's bought into it, trying to then cascade down some of the ways of actually doing it in terms of like getting people out, and it's so much easier because you've kind of like nailed it from the top. That's kind of been the plan, and that's, again, we're starting to look at that in Bristol as well. It's exciting times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I suppose that as well as kind of really appealing to, like you were saying, like-minded clients in the regions, you're also starting to really appeal to, you know, talent as well and people to join the business and go, actually, I want to be a part of that. Are you seeing that kind of come through in your recruitment?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think our profile in Wales has never been better, probably. Mm-hmm. Touch wood, mm-hmm. I say. But I think once you start to get one or two things right, there is a bit of a snowball effect. I think, definitely Curtains are on the lips of lots of people in the region. Mm-hmm. People do mm-hmm. want to work for us, absolutely. Recruitment, I mean, we've just actually recruited Richard Baker mm-hmm. into Cardiff. It's already, I mean, he's an absolute asset to the team already. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he has been, it's like really nice. He's been so complimentary of what it's like. I think he said that his first month in Curtains has been like the best time that he can remember working in a consultancy.
Wow, what an endorsement. That's incredible.
Which is ace.
Okay, I'm going to move us on then, Dean. You personally, but also your team more widely, and I suppose, well, Curtains, have been known for the work that we've done around sustainable drainage systems in Wales. Could you talk us through what does that mean? What does that look like? What is our offering in that area? But also, I'd love to hear about how perhaps beyond Wales, the rest of the UK and Ireland could learn, you know, what we could be doing differently in terms of our approach beyond Wales.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think SUDS, sustainable drainage systems, became a big thing in Wales. I think it was around 2019, 2020. Mm-hmm. And basically the Welsh government decided that it was time to kind of enforce and regulate how we design drainage systems. So we were kind of like the national guinea pig, mm-hmm. but it's all about everything that we see on the news in terms of flood risk, flooding, really poor water quality in rivers. And it was trying to get, how are we going to deal with this in the long term? So quite similar to what we're doing in things like embodied carbon and mm-hmm. setting some targets around that. It was kind of like, what are we going to do on infrastructure?
And the benefits of that being what?
So the sustainable drainage systems is all about trying to get developed sites to act as in when they were a greenfield. That's mm-hmm. effectively what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. So if we can build a building and a lot of roads on a scheme and make that act as if it was a greenfield, that's an absolute dream.
So
we're not affecting anything downstream from our site. I think in terms of what that actually means, so you've got the four quadrants, you've got the kind of like the standard drainage-y stuff about the quantity of water that you're allowed to let off site. So that's been around forever. So it's all about attenuation and stopping water flowing off the site. Mm-hmm. And then you've got things like the water quality as well. So that's slightly changed in terms of how we deal with it. But again, it's making sure that any water that leaves the site isn't got pollutants in it.
Yeah.
And then we've got things like biodiversity and amenity, which is, whilst again, it's not directly something that we are responsible for, it's something that we can absolutely like influence, and that's mm-hmm. that's where it's quite exciting. So I think basically, it's led to a green infrastructure led approach. So mm. can we deal with drainage on site naturally, basically? So can we create things like bioretention areas, rain gardens, swales, all that kind of stuff, so that we can keep all the water on site without, you know, on ground. For as long as possible. So it's encouraging that kind of greenfield effect.
The impact of that is enormous,
which,
as well, isn't it?
Which is great, absolutely.
In terms of like, yes, this kind of direct influence on the scheme, on that building, on that project, but the wider impact as well,
absolutely.
The ripple effect is really quite significant.
It is exciting, yeah. And I think, and again, we talk a lot about sustainability and stuff like that. And this is another, it's quite hard to measure maybe, but it's another great example of if you get it right, you can create some really sustainable projects. Mm-hmm. And again, mm-hmm. you can leverage it up, you can scale it up. You know, you can look at like much wider master plans with the local authorities and mm-hmm. get a bit more strategic of what we're doing in wider catchments. But yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, there's big opportunities to cross-sell with architects and landscape consultants. And those are the things that we've probably done quite successfully over the last few years. I think maybe one of the big lessons learned is that civil engineers are becoming increasingly important to unlock sites.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that we've definitely seen in Wales. And I think it's a real opportunity for investment, I think, in Curtains in terms of, if we can get us involved in sites a lot earlier and mm-hmm. making this green infrastructure-led approach more of a kind of brand for Curtains, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a big opportunity for cross-selling.
And are you seeing that now beyond Wales? Are you seeing that in the market and the appetite?
Absolutely, yeah. So I think there are some English SUD standards that got released or published last year. So I mm-hmm. think England are starting to catch up with Wales, maybe not mm-hmm. to the same level of intensity that we've probably seen. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely going in the right direction. So we absolutely need to start sharing some of the actual lessons learned that we've had on projects in Wales. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I think there's a lot of private developers that would probably be quite scared about suds and basins. That's big land grabs and lots of big areas. But, you know, we have found a few little tricks on making it more efficient, try to get it a bit more integrated with landscape. So as long as you get us involved early doors, I think there's some good opportunities.
Yeah, interesting. And it's such a benefit for kind of Curtin's clients across UK and Ireland to know that we've got that, like a huge bank of experience. And like you say, those lessons learned, and we have honed our approach, haven't we? We have learned those from those lessons.
Absolutely.
And that we can now apply that, you know, across all of our offices, I imagine is really quite enticing.
It is. And I think you talk about things like social value and communities. And, you know, if you get the designs right, you know, there can be some big wellbeing impacts and like improvements. You're improving the biodiversity of sites. You know, if you're doing a school, like kids are going to be quite excited about being in a school where there's like green infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've even had suds features where, you know, kids can actually interact with some like water features mm-hmm. on site, which mm-hmm. is like, you think, wow, that's like, why?
That's pretty cool,
why
isn't it?
We've always mm-hmm. done that. Mm-hmm.
That's really cool, actually. So have you got any examples of perhaps a project that you've worked on or a project that your team has worked on where you've kind of really seen, you know, we've taken that approach and it's worked particularly well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a couple of schemes that come to mind. We've got an award-winning ALN or SEN school in Wales, mm-hmm. In Powys, where, again, a lot of the green infrastructure was master planned in to provide sensory features for all of the
Do you know that's just
students.
Down the road from where I grew up, actually?
Yeah.
But, yeah, some of my friends' children go there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes. Nice. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's like really proud to be on a scheme, where, especially when I've got my own kids thinking, oh, you know, I wish we had those types of things.
Yeah, absolutely, Just really enhancing their experience in school in so many different ways. And when we talk, you know, we go in and we do our STEM sessions with kids and we talk about engineering, what a brilliant example to be able to show them and to bring it to life.
Absolutely, yeah. I think another scheme as well is Swansea Arena, mm-hmm. which again, it's part of the kind of the wider master plan for Swansea Central. Mm. But I think the project is a great blueprint of what you can do in inner cities and public realm. And again, if you can master plan in like suds features, we can literally transform what inner cities look like in the future. So great opportunities. And I think, you know, we can all see that city centres are changing rapidly mm-hmm. from what they used to be used for and moving more into that kind of leisure. So I think, mm-hmm. it's quite exciting in terms of how we can maybe get involved and influence like, those kind of parts of our lives.
Really. Absolutely. And we've got both rural and urban then. So it really isn't kind of limited to one or the other, is it?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to move us on now, Dean, if I may, to the kind of quick fire questions. So a little bit about kind of what makes you tick. Could you talk us through the best project you've ever worked on? I'm sure the list is probably quite long. I know there have been many, many notable projects for you, I'm sure. Some for good reasons, maybe some for less good. But what do you reckon is like the best one that stands out for you and why?
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, I think there's probably two projects that I'd like to kind of talk about. One is one we've already touched on, Swansea Arena.
Yeah.
Mainly because it had such a massive impact on the city, and it's a catalyst for so much further investment in the region.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what jumps out of that is that we were involved from literally day one. There was no concept. We worked with the architect. I literally remember with Stephen actually, taking the architects from London, walking around like different cities and looking at different bridges and public realms and just trying to like, what can we actually try and
the art of the possible kind of thing.
Absolutely, yeah. So to have being involved that early on a project that is being completed and had such a massive impact is quite proud.
Yeah. When you can walk through somewhere and you can really see people interacting and that, like you say, I think that word, the catalyst, you know, when you can really see that it has changed how people use a space and improved it immeasurably. Yeah. And we're only partway through on that as well. There's still more to come, isn't there?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, there's so much more to come. It might be a bit of a journey that I look back on my career and think, oh, yeah. We did have an introduction to a new client last week and we did a little interview. And when you were telling them the story of all the big schemes we've done in Wales, it's super exciting to be able to show that journey.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll lead to the next one. Mm-hmm. I think the other scheme that... It's a smaller scheme, but again, the satellite radiotherapy unit we did at Neverhall Hospital. Again, mainly because of how important like cancer treatment is in Wales and obviously the UK. Kind of started, again, one of those schemes where we took it from a blank sheet of paper. It's completed and handed over. It had modular bunker designs in it. The client's super duper happy with it. And we're already... speaking to other clients that want to visit the facility, they want to get linear accelerators and bunkers and all this kind of stuff on their hospitals. So I think, again, we probably got the blueprint of something that will get rolled out several times around the UK.
I mean, the impact of that is enormous, again, isn't it? You know, we're talking here about really life-changing things where we're reducing the distance that people have to travel, the time that people have to take to Absolutely. Go sometimes daily for weeks on end to get their cancer treatment. And suddenly we're bringing that to a community where it wasn't before. Yeah. And you know, you don't know how important that is until you need it almost, do you? Yeah. But it's so, so significant.
It is. I think that's what I like about healthcare, actually. And when you get involved in the user group sessions, the stakeholder sessions, and you listen to the clinicians about the patient experience and things like that, and it kind of like hits home. We need to go the extra mile to make this project go well because the impact is far beyond the building.
It's personal, isn't it? Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, lovely examples. Thank you. I'm going to get you to look at the kind of year ahead now. So big year, new role, broader kind of picture for you in terms of where your responsibility lies. What would you say is like the one thing that you're really looking forward to most this year?
Yes, well, I think two things probably again, if I'm allowed. I think the first thing is civils. We've got a new civils appointment, Richard Baker joining, and we've got a real opportunity to grow the civils team.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably the thing that I'm most excited about because, again, I think there's going to be some lessons learned for the rest of Curtains, really, in terms of like if we can get it right in the southwest, in terms of like building a resilient civils team that are kind of involved quite heavily in the market, in terms of thought leadership, kind of client liaisons, and I think it can be a kind of blueprint on how we can roll out a kind of civils offering across the UK and build on that success. So I'm very excited about that, and I think the other thing is obviously exciting to see how we kind of cross-pollinate across offices and looking at how Cardiff can learn from some of the things in Bristol and how Bristol can learn from some of the things we'll be doing in Cardiff and seeing how we can kind of maximize and leverage each other's strengths.
Yeah, absolutely get that. Because both the region, well, all regions are Curtains, but both of those regions have absolutely got their own identities, haven't they? They've got their own kind of almost mini cultures that really, you know, create that lovely place to work, that lovely place to work with. But there's absolutely lessons that can be shared both ways, kind of to benefit everybody that we work with, everybody that works with us.
Absolutely, yeah. I think we've got, we've got Jeremy Kent, who's really known for his kind of tall building experience. So I know he's like already speaking to Stephen and Johnny about some sites over in Bristol in the southwest and some clients that, again, I think hopefully clients that we'll be working with across the UK actually. But really trying to raise that profile and using each other to the best of our advantage.
Yeah. Really exciting year ahead by the sounds of it. Excellent. Okay, so you've clearly had, you've got a lot of experience under your belt. You've done, some great things at Curtains. Is there like a piece of advice or a lesson that you've personally learned that you would kind of pass on to others and tell somebody else from the benefit of your experience?
Yeah, I think over the years, I think I've realised that you know, you want to feel empowered to bring your mm-hmm. ideas and perspective to the table. Everyone in Curtains wants to, you know, wants to hear everyone's perspective. I think, please don't want people to kind of feel like they've got to wait to be asked for their ideas. I think, feel empowered to take the next step. So much opportunity in Curtains. So much, you know, in terms of succession planning and like what people can achieve in their careers, there's many opportunities to kind of be grabbed. Mm-hmm. So I wish, just kind of want to make sure that we kind of underline that message in the Southwest, certainly, because there's lots of opportunities and we just need to kind of make sure that people feel like they've got a platform to take that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I often think that people, there's perhaps a perception that the leadership teams know the exact strategy, the exact roadmap, the exact kind of like day by day plan of how we're going together. And that's not the reality, is it? The reality is absolutely we have those strategies in place and we have those goals identified, but we also do evolve those and we do kind of pivot when we need to. And so the input of people from across the business, we work with some really, really clever, really, really insightful individuals. Yeah. And whilst, you know, some of those ideas that they might bring to the table, they're not necessarily going to see an immediate kind of response tomorrow and we could change the way that we do things. It might take a couple of months, it might take a couple of years, but ultimately we always welcome them, don't we?
Absolutely. I think, I think teaching people to be more bold, as long as we're respectful and I think, let's learn from each other a bit more. Yeah. Let's get ideas out there. I do think, like, you know, making sure that people gravitate towards positivity. So, again, it's just about, bring your ideas to the table. Make sure they're kind of, they're positive, they're respectful of others' perspective. And, go and grab the opportunity.
Yeah, great advice. Thanks, Dean. Okay, so we're going to move on to our final question then. So I ask this of all of our guests. Imagine Dean a year from today. What will you be doing? What will a day look like a year from today?
Well, hopefully, in a year's time, I think from a personal perspective, I've got two youngest children at home. Mm-hmm. So I've got a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old, so they'll be going on. So I'm hoping to be planning our first family long haul trip.
Okay, where are you thinking?
Well, probably the kind of stereotypical Florida trip, maybe.
Nice.
Although my eldest has kind of said, oh, what about Japan? I was like, ooh. It's a bit out there.
There's a Disney in Tokyo, I think. So you could do two birds, one stone there.
So maybe. So I think that'd definitely be exciting. And again, going back to Curtains, I think we've had a couple of people in the region go on some nice kind of family, like three week trips over the Christmas period. It is quite nice. So I'll take myself on one next year.
Just you?
Let's see. We'll see.
Maybe with the family as well. Okay, brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast. Cheers, Dean.
Cheers.